Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a very important subject today. We're interviewing Matt Schellenberg. Matt was former city council member for District 6 for some 8 years in Duval County. Matt has a good handle on the very deep knowledge of the school board operation and the ins and outs of what they're doing with the funds. And we're talking about the half-cent sales tax referendum that's on the ballot. And I'm saying just say no to the half-cent sales tax. And just before the break, we were talking about some of the things that have been spent and how it's been carried out and the way the school board is handled. Matt, what you're literally saying is, and what we were talking about earlier, is that basically the school superintendent, school board superintendent and administration makes the decisions, and then they want the school board simply to rubber stamp it. Does that equate to what you're basically saying?
Right. I don't think they're paying attention to it. I think these are, again, teaching is a beautiful profession, but what we have are basically teachers on the school board that are unwilling or not reading. They care about education. Put them in this, you know, put them out there and teach. But right now we have a very disappointing school board that aren't business people. And in business, you're supposed to make strategic, long-term decisions. And what's amazing to me, I sent you this morning, one of the board members sent out an information that now they're going to do a strategic plan. They're going now to do a strategic plan for the next 5 years. And I'm thinking to myself, aren't you supposed to do that before you ask for any money? Because if you're doing a strategic plan, you find out you might not need the half cent, you won't need it. But if this passes, let's make sure we understand the numbers, Dr. Youngblood. They already have $108 million for repair and maintenance of facilities. Okay, that's $100 million a year. Let's just call it $100 million. The half cent sales tax will be, if it passes, is another $100 million. So every year, you're giving these people, the boards, the school board teachers, $200 million to spend on brick and mortar, and that's basically $3 billion, $3 billion over the next 15 years when we're not moving away from brick and mortar. This is absolutely mind-boggling. And you know what their reasoning is? We're going to appoint a 24-member committee to oversee this. Really? Dr. Youngblood, do you go to meetings with 24 people anymore?
You'll never have consensus on any issue, regardless of the size of it, large or small. Matt, I'm looking at an article here. It says, Duval County leaders speak out in support of the half-cent sales tax. And before reading blurbs from this, we have found several have spoken out in favor of it, past leadership in the political arena. And I'm shocked to find out that they have raised funds. How much of it is directly out of the school board and how much of it is private funding, I don't know. But they've raised about $1.5 million, about $1.5 million, just to promote. Just say yes. I'm looking at the major article that says, vote yes for secure, safe, modern schools in Duval County. And then a major listings of those that have provided dollars to be able to push and promote this by way of radio, television, etc. You can turn on television, see major, high-profile, expensive ads pushing for this to be approved. But in this particular article, it says, the half-cent sales tax to be on the ballot, and local leaders in support of the referendum talked directly to voters on the webinar last Thursday. They explained it would mean almost $2 billion for new school repairs and to repair the crippling infrastructure. If the tax passes, Delaney, that's one of the past mayors, John Delaney, said it would mean more than $1 million a year for the county public schools. More than $1 million, that is a low number. They're talking about now far more than that $1 million a year. But further, the article says, the one big question people wanted to know was how the district plans to ensure the money would be fairly distributed among the campuses. The superintendent is going to appoint, as you said a moment ago, a 24-person oversight committee, John Delaney explained. And the beauty of that is that they're going to have to have reports to the oversight committee that are in the public. In other words, Matt, what I understand with the, how you'd say, the wordsmithing of the article, I understand that what they're going to do is, as you're saying now, work out a strategic plan how we're going to spend the money after they already wanted to get the money, rather than having a strategic plan in advance to decide what do we need and how can we spend what we presently have. And what they're doing is saying, okay, public, we're going to set up a committee here, a board, that's going to investigate how we spend the money, how much money comes in, to make sure that the general public is satisfied that we're doing it right. I find it antithetical to anything that's called proper business protocol and business procedure to carry it out. So what are your thoughts in relationship to how we ought to view it from the taxpayers? Should we say yes or should we say no? We'll talk about it further, but very simply put, should we vote yes on what back on in the farm years, back less than 100 years ago, say you're buying a pig in the poke? It's like Nancy Pelosi saying about the Obamacare, we're going to have to vote on it first to see what's in it. Is that similar to what we're seeing here?
Well, you know, this is one of those funny things. You know, I respect John Delaney. He ran for office, became UNF president. But as a business person, he's never had that opportunity to do anything except raise taxes. And so let's relate to John Delaney and the person who is running this, as well as Matt Carlucci. I'll get to him, and then we'll get to the mayor. But John Delaney is the one who proposed the Better Jacksonville plan. He said, we're going to build that courthouse for $190 million. It ended up costing $450 million. And do you realize that we're still doing some of the projects that he promised us when we asked for the half-cent sales tax, and we'll continue to pay that half-cent until 2030. This is the same John Delaney that put us in the bind with the pension, the police and fire pension. He promised them 8.4% return on their money in the drop program and many other things. That's why we're out of whack on the pension. So John Delaney, almost every tax that he has, any proposal he has done, has been detrimental to the benefit of citizens, all the citizens of Jacksonville. Now,
you stated that very well. In fact, I'm looking at an article that says, talking about John Delaney, says during his mayoral term, Delaney launched the Better Jacksonville plan. I've always heard it the Better Jacksonville scam. But anyway, a massive billion-dollar package of projects for municipal improvement fueled by the half-cent sales tax increase, as well as the preservation project, a series of land grants for parks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I just made a little marginal note on this massive article. It says, how is this working out for us today? It was a total abject failure, and yet we're still paying for it. Am I correct, Matt? Aren't we still paying for that half-cent sales tax?
Yes, and in fact, it went so far out of whack in the 2007 to 2011 because the half-cent was not bringing in any money because of the economy. Do you realize they had to borrow money from the general fund from the city of Jacksonville to actually pay off some of the bonds interest during that period of time? This is what I'm saying. John Delaney is a nice guy, but hold on for a second. He hasn't been very good for Jacksonville. Tell me what he has done in Jacksonville to improve us when he was mayor for 8 years. Look at what we have. We have an improved downtown, still a mess, and we need to do better. And so I believe that we're pushing people who actually haven't had the skills to actually spend the citizens' money. And I think this is one of the things that in your preamble before during the show is that they always ask for more money. Always ask for more money. Businesses that are successful, as I mentioned earlier, saw the opportunity, and they are doing very well. I hate to say it, but Walmart, Amazon, the big FANG companies are doing great. Big restaurants are doing well. And the smaller restaurants, I love them, but they have to meet the challenges going forward. And by the way, giving them money to survive another month doesn't help. I would love to help them. I go there and buy stuff. But you have to spend your money wisely and look for the future. You can't look back, and this is the problem. We want to do a great downtown. Really, people are moving to the suburbs, not the downtown.
That's exactly right. In fact, I've been absolutely amazed at the number of times, and now it's being pushed again by the present mayor. And, of course, the mayor, present mayor is basically giving the keys to the city, to Shad Khan, and that will be the one that will wind up developing the former landing property and the parking lot J outside of the stadium. I'm amazed at how we're continuing to give. And, of course, this is a side note, but I believe they'll come. The Shad Khan will move the Jacksonville Jaguars to London after he's already milked as much as he can get out of the city taxpayers at the hands of some of the inept leadership that we have. But
it goes back to the government leaders. We have a poor crop of the leaders of we give them responsibility to look at altruistically all the citizens, not for the few. Not to the benefit, and this goes back to one other point I'd like to make about the half cent. It's very important. A lot of that money that is going to promote it, if you look behind the scenes, and I admire all these people, charter schools are amazing. Some charter schools are great. And if you pass that half cent sales tax, that money can go to charter schools. So there's an alternative motive why some of this money is being promoted, because it benefits other people, not just Duval County. Duval County will get a big chunk of that half cent. But in reality, the charter school systems will also get. And they're doing amazing things. And, in fact, there's a charter school. This is amazing to me. All the growth really is in the south side of Jacksonville, but most of the money in Duval County is going to the north side, the older schools, okay? There's a charter school that's going to actually, their mission is to go in that area and build huge campuses so those students can stay there. They don't have to be bused. They become neighborhood schools again, and that's what we need. If you want to argue for brick and mortar, consolidate schools, get rid of the ones that are no good, that you haven't made and aren't going to do it. That's fine. But Dr. Youngblood, they could have consolidated schools 4 or 6 years ago. Do you know what? They haven't done it because they don't have the political will and to do it. And then you're giving them $100 million a year to spend without having them have the political will to actually consolidate schools. How can you balance that out?
And when you say consolidate schools, Matt, let's clarify that for our listeners. A lot of the schools that, yes, they're dilapidated. Some of them have reached their, how would you say, their usability, the life of the building and the facilities, and very few students in that particular geographical area. And you're talking about consolidating. That is taking some of the older schools that have fewer students, and just down the road a distance, a short distance, would be another school. Why not merge them, consolidate them, close and destroy or tear down or market or sell the old properties? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and in fact, so this is the big issue with Raines and Rebalt. They were basically, one was actually a African-American black school back in the day, and the other one was a white school. They're basically a mile apart, and neither of them want to give up their identity. I suggested during the campaign, why don't you build, you know, one school and have one wing Rebalt, Raines, and the other one Rebalt. And why can't you do that? The reason is there's no thinking, and when you're not thinking, you just go back to your comfort zone, which is, it worked last year, it worked 5 years ago, I don't have to do anything, and that's it. And that's an absolute shame. That's why governments get bigger, not smaller, because they're unwilling to make the hard choices going forward.
Matt, a very serious question that I believe dovetails into the major question about saying yes or no on the half-cent sales tax, and I've already advocated to say no on the half-cent. Of course, I have historically said that we need, as we the people, say no on any sales tax or tax increase to the extent that is possible. But let me ask a question that would be more rudimentary and fundamental. Will the type of school, i.e., the brick and mortar, does that make a difference in the quality of education, the academics that's taking place inside that building?
No.
It gets down to the rudimentary elemental question is, and that is, why are our students in Duval County testing lower than in St. John's County, Clay County, and other counties?
Well, I think it's twofold. Number one is the magnet program, they basically take all the supposedly special children and consolidate them. And when you do things like this, if you're not in that magnet program, parents go, hey, I want to get in that program, and I want a great education. And they look around, they go, what are the options? But if you don't get in the magnet program, I'm going to move to St. Johns County. And the reason why St. Johns County, Clay County, and Nassau County work is because people are moving here from all over the country, all over the world, and that's my business. I meet people from all over the country for 30 years moving here. They get a job in Jacksonville, Duval County, and they move to St. Johns County because they know that they're going to get a quality education and neighborhood schools, and they are a magnet, in a sense, of getting people, because when you're moving, it's usually middle and upper income. They understand the value of education going forward, and they're not moving to Duval County except in selected locations like Hendricks Avenue, if you get in that little pocket there, or your child gets in the magnet program. And other than that, we don't have very good schools, honestly. And by the way, success breeds success. So all those surrounding counties, the teachers go, I want to go there. So they get the best of the crop. There are some good teachers here. I'm not knocking it. But the vast majority of good teachers, it's like being any kind of fan of anything. Success breeds success in politics, in sports, in business. You want to go where success is part of the team. And right now we don't have it in Duval County. And new buildings aren't going to make a difference. That's not going to change anybody's mind.
It won't change the quality of the instruction. It won't change the quality of the teacher that's standing there. It won't change the fact that we have allowed in many of our public school systems, we've allowed the students to control the classroom, the academic setting, rather than the teacher, and or the strategic plan from the superintendent of the schools to make sure that academics go forward. No longer, and if I can say this as a little hobby horse of mine, no longer are we concerned about, as the three R's used to be called, reading, writing, and arithmetic. We're now teaching racism. We're teaching white supremacy. We're teaching all of these extracurricular side issues and calling it academics and education. And yet when we find the charter schools go into vogue, as it has in Duval County and across the nation, charter schools are doing a superb job in most cases because of it being a public school, privately held, and they can fire teachers and they can fire students, if you will. Matt, I'm looking at an article that talks about the requirements for any of the tax money in the public educational system to be shared with and to go into charter school facilities. But there's a stringent requirement for charter schools to be able to dip in the till and get part of the funding. For example, it says to be eligible for capital outlay funds, a charter school must, number one, operate in the state for 2 years or more before they can start being funded. Two, be governed by a board that has been established by the Florida for 2 years or more. Three, be an expansion of an existing charter network already receiving funds, or four, have been accredited by an approved regional accrediting body, or five, serve students in facilities provided by business as part of the school in the workplace program. Matt, one of the things that I believe our listeners need to understand is that charter schools is a public school, privately held and privately run, but it's still a public school. But yet out of the tax dollars, whether it be this half-cent sales tax or the general funds, in fact, as you said earlier, I think it's $108 million that comes out of the general fund into the school board each year for brick and mortar and for the maintenance of those buildings. But yet for a charter school, they get 66% of those same dollars, 66%, and yet they're running a superior school system. Do you see that in that fashion, or you differ with that?
No, in fact, not only can you take the charter schools, but I bet you the teachers don't get paid as much. They're much more efficient in administration. You can look at the parochial school systems here in town, and I was a board member for 24 for a parochial high school here in town. And the teachers, we had longevity and teachers. And they never, we never paid, we wanted to retain the best teachers, but we never paid them equal to the Duval County. Their benefits weren't as good. Their health insurance wasn't as good. But why did they stay? Because they loved coming to school, because they had a student body that was willing to learn. And by the way, they had parents that cared about their education of their children. And that's a big difference. In most charter schools, they don't get to dress whatever you like. The charter schools that I've been to, and some of the most successful, they're in uniforms. So there's a certain amount of discipline. And by the way, uniforms are not as a discipline. It's to show that when you go to school, everybody is equal, and you have every opportunity to learn as the person next to you. And you don't know if they live on the river or they live in a shack. You have a uniform, you come, and that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to go to school to build friendships, social environment. But most important, as you said, the three R's. If you learn the three R's, the world is your oyster, as they used to say.
Absolutely. Matt, one of the primary things that you and I have talked about before and that our listeners need to understand is the major problem with the school board today in Duval County and the $1.7 billion that's the budget, and then the push now for the additional $100 million that would be basically the income from the half-cent sales tax, and the amount that would be squandered, is that there's no accountability. What can be done about that? How should we, the people, view that? What should the taxpayers do? How should the voters respond to it? Should we just simply say yes to the increased dollars, saying, well, I hope that they'll spend it right this time, and the track record shows they haven't? How do you respond to that question?
Yeah, this is why I ran for school board. I thought that I could really make a difference, bringing some business acumen to the school board. This is the unintended consequences, in my opinion, going back to Mr. Mayor Curry. He so broken the trust with this JEA issue, with his lieutenants and all those other people, that when he comes on and says, you know, about a year ago that maybe we should have appointed school board, I said no, because I didn't like the fact that the way he treated everybody at JEA and tried to take control of JEA and tried to steal money from the citizens. But you have two choices. You need to get good people on the school board. That means you have to fight the unions, and that's why I think I lost. The unions came out against me because they knew that I'd be tough against the unions and making sure that they were the administration, Dr. Green, was accountable. That message apparently didn't get out, and my people didn't go out and vote, which is a shame. So you have two choices. You basically decide to clean house over there. No more teachers. This is my position, and Charlotte Joyce is wonderful over there, but that's the only one. You have a chair, previous chair, that it was a board member of the Clinton Foundation. There's anything to do with the Clintons. I don't want to have anything to do with. She's a nice lady, but the point is, we need people over there that have a sense of and challenge the administration how that money's being spent, and be accountable and transparent. So you got two choices. You can't give this mayor the ability to appoint school board members, so you have to elect them and get them out of there. And that's going to take a universal effort. And you know what's happened is the people that are moving, that are charter people, and that are supporting that, and they're bringing an idea, a charter school out of Houston, I think, or Dallas, to go to the inner city. They've given up on this school system, okay? And they're changing the system because of the charter schools. And you're going to see more and more charters come to Jacksonville. In fact, in Mandarin and surrounding areas, we have more charter schools than any other school board district. And because the parents love Mandarin area, but they want the schools to be neighborhood schools, so they go to charter schools here. And you're going to see over the, I think, education is changing, but in the brick and mortar area, you're going to see a substantial amount of charter schools being built, and you're going to see less and less people going to Duval County schools. And this is why I don't understand why people are willing to give them a half-cent sales tax.
Exactly right. One of the things, and it's a national phenomena that's been brought about and the truth of it exposed as a result of COVID-19, and that is that parents have finally decided that we're going to take control of our students' education, put them in private school, parochial schools, Christian schools, co-op educational programs, online education, and for the most part, not focused on the brick-and-mortar schools. But I'm looking at an article here that talks about those that are pushing for this, John Delaney, Warren Jones, Matt Carlucci, and Martha Barrett, Nat Glover. And we talked about that of John Delaney a moment ago, but one of them with Warren Jones. Warren Jones, according to this article, brags about the fact that he also served on the board member of the JEA. And I just made a little marginal note to this article. Well, look at that. Look at what happened with JEA. If that shows the leadership style that is generally found, and with that same leadership style, it is detrimental, I believe, to the Duval Countyans and we the people that are paying the tax money. Matt, we've got about a minute and a half left on the broadcast. Feel free to take this last minute and a half. Talk about what you talk to our people, talk to our listeners, what you recommend, why you recommend it, and what we need to do on that initiative, voting yes or no on the half-cent sales tax.
Well, I'm voting no on the half-cent, let's be clear. And think of it this way. John Delaney and that group, we have a half-cent already on the Better Jacksonville plan that won't be ending until 2030. And then in 2030, that half-cent's not going to end either. That will go on another 30 years because of the pension problems that occurred during the Delaney's administration.
Yes.
I think that people should review and say, have increased taxes benefited Jacksonville? Look at all the money's being spent in downtown. Look at your neighborhood. I say that we should quit spending money downtown and make sure that every community has great parks, nice sidewalks, making sure that the lawns, you know, the public lawns are cut, not 8 times a year, 10 times a year, which is a requirement, but all the time. Beautification of Jacksonville will bring people back here. It won't give them an opportunity to get a good education. And think of it as it doesn't take any effort for parents to move to St. John's County or to Clay County and Nassau County. Look at the value of your house. If we had great schools, the value of your house would go up astronomically like it has in the surrounding counties. And yes, St. John's has an impact fee. You know why? Because they're growing. We don't need an impact fee. We don't need the half cent because we're not growing. And we need to hold these people accountable. And having 24 members, Warren Jones is a nice guy. And Martha Barrett's a nice person, and she works for Bank of America. She's a lovely woman. But why didn't she – why during that time that Warren's been there for 5 years, why hasn't – he had said 5 years ago we need to do something with the schools. Why didn't Martha Barrett do something with the schools? Why didn't all these people on the school board, why didn't they tell us this 5 years ago? Or
yes.
Are they just sitting around not doing anything, and they're not doing their job? And why would you give money to people that aren't doing their job?
Amen. Matt, thank you so much for being with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is say no on the half-cent sales tax. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air. Once again, we face the issues.
Station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.